Hi. Today we're going to be talking about something interesting in Answering the Soul's Cry, Part 3. To wrap it up, have you ever felt not good enough? Have you ever felt that you weren't worthy of anything, of love, or affection, success, money, whatever it is? If this is you, and this could be you, we're going to answer some of those questions today and give you a way to overcome those things with what I call the dirty dancing metaphor to life, or nobody puts baby in a corner. Hi, I'm Dr. Will Horton. And so today I want to talk about that soul's cry that you get, that where you don't feel good enough, you don't feel worthy. And how does this manifest itself? Well, it's when you get close to a goal, whether it's a financial goal or a physical goal or a relationship goal, as soon as you get close, you seem to self-sabotage, you blow it up, or you put up unrealistic obstacles that basically you put up and you kind of know you put up, and yet it stops you from getting there because deep down inside, you don't feel good enough. You don't feel that that should be your success. And so today we're going to be talking about that. And the people that have that, that know that they have it and realize it because they have a hunger in their soul, like a hollowness in their heart. And so they do anything they can to ignore that. They might use drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, any kind of addiction, any kind of codependency, anything not to feel those feelings. Because those feelings are your soul reaching out, your subconscious, your soul reaching out, telling you, you could be more. You deserve more. And so this could be that intuition, that hunger, that spiritual hunger, whatever it happens to be. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that, how to get it. And again, those obstacles that a lot of times we put up, that the self-sabotage, all those things that we do that stops us from getting there. And so when this happens, a lot of this is because we don't know how to trust our feelings. If you were young, when you were young, not if you were young, you were young, you're younger, you know, you were younger 3 minutes ago when we first started this conversation. But when you were really young, this is especially true for people that were told when they were really young, you shouldn't feel that way, or don't feel that way, it's silly. Now, let's say you're 7 years old and you weren't picked for the baseball team, so you're hurt, you're crushed. And many times parents, well-meaning, and I don't mean that they're not well-meaning, or someone around you might say, I don't feel that way, you know, or it's their loss. They're not acknowledging your feelings. You know, they're not saying it sucks, it hurts. Sometimes things suck. Sometimes things hurt. You know, so you're taught, even at a very young age, a lot of us were to push those feelings down, to not feel, I shouldn't feel this way. Well, you feel what you feel. And we always say as adults, well, your feelings are neutral. They're neither good nor bad. They're just feelings. But we don't even know how to internalize those feelings. So we stop feeling. And yet we're feeling creatures. We want to feel. So many people that get crushed down in the when those adolescent years of young childhood going into adolescent years, when you should be taught how to feel your feelings, how to express your feelings, how to express love, how to express fear, how to express sadness, how to express grief. If you weren't taught that, you don't know how to feel feelings, and yet you want to feel feelings. So maybe you become an adrenaline junkie. You do things that are very dangerous, self-destructive behaviors, alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, anything, right? Because it gives you a feeling, because you don't know how to feel. And then, of course, many of the addictions we run into and that people have, it's because I don't know how to feel these feelings. I'm going to drink, I'm going to drug, I'm going to get lost in a relationship, I'm going to eat, whatever it happens to be, I want to escape. So maybe it's through no fault of your parents or the authority figures or the people around you. It's maybe they didn't know how to feel their feelings. So it becomes multi-generational. So we begin to push those feelings down, tamper them down. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do this. And then when you hit that phase where your soul starts to get hungry, your spirit starts to cry, your heart reaches out, and it reaches out through your subconscious mind, and you feel that you should do something. Well, the other thing that happens for a lot of us is that you were told not to trust your intuition, not to trust your subconscious mind, trust your intellect, trust your higher self. And in fact, very few of us were ever taught how to balance that higher intellect, that conscious thinking with our subconscious mind. So we disregard it. No, we can't trust that. We can't trust that. Those intuitions are wrong. And again, how many of us in our own lives, you meet somebody and you have an intuition Like, oh, I shouldn't trust this person. But your intellect kicks in. Oh, no, they're rich, or they're powerful, or they're connected. I can trust them. And so you do business with them, or your relationship, whatever it is, and you get burned. Well, your intuition was right, but you overrode it. You know, it's kind of like what I talk about when I talk about fear, with the gift of fear. So we're not taught to trust that subconscious mind, to just let go and follow it. So how do you develop that now? And how do you do that? And how do you develop that self-worth? Well, if the first thing about self-worth is acknowledging that you feel what you feel. They're neither right nor wrong. They're feelings. Well, if you weren't taught that, how do you begin to develop that? Well, you have to do some kind of process to do it. And again, we're not taught this, you know, it's just life. So what I'd like to do today is finish this up by talking about the movie Dirty Dancing. What if you looked at Dirty Dancing as a metaphor for something much more than what it is, right? And I hope you're familiar with the movie Dirty Dancing. Most people either really, really love it or they're not that fond of it. But I would say this movie has deep metaphors, because in the movie Dirty Dancing, first of all, the girl, baby, the one that wants to dance, well, she's told she shouldn't want to dance, right? Because that's not what they do, whoever they are. And the parents are actually really good people. You find out during the course of the movie, they really care about their daughters. They really love their daughters. They want the best for them, but they're working from their model of the world. So they're trying to project themselves onto their daughter. And so that begins to stample down. You shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do whatever it is that you think you want to do. And so we have to understand that, like, the parents are well-meaning. And what about the whole idea of wanting to dance? She wants to do something different. She wants to break away from what her family wants, what everyone else wants, you know, the debutante kind of thing, whatever it was. She wants to do something different. Well, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Well, why? Why shouldn't you do it? They can't really answer that. It's because that's not what we do. So you either have to fit into the mold or you have to shatter the mold. And most of us aren't given the tools to shatter the mold. But she reaches out. And there's a beautiful scene in the movie where, you know, she's trying to learn how to dance and all this is going on. But Patrick Swayze puts out his hand and all he says is, "Close your eyes and follow me." Now, just think of the power of that. Just close your eyes and follow me. And she does. She has to think about it. It's a beautiful film scene. She thinks about it. She takes her hand and she follows him. She has to learn how to follow. And most of us have to learn how to follow our subconscious mind. Maybe that image that she's reaching out to, which everyone else thinks is a bad boy, and of course we know from watching the movie, he's really a great guy and really a wonderful person. He doesn't fit the mold of what they want, but he's a great guy. Only she sees that. The other people don't. But she has to have the courage to reach out and then follow it, to learn to follow it. So what I'd like you to do is just think about that. Have you reached out to your subconscious mind? And when it reaches back to you, do you follow it? Do you acknowledge it? Do you listen to it? Are you willing to follow it? That's your soul's cry. That's the final part of it. And until you do that, you really don't get that self-worth. Because again, at the movie, at the very end, when after the dance and she's all lit up, you know, that looks like self-worth. And there's a couple other scenes in the movie which ties into what we're talking about here that we can use for self-worth. There's a scene where he's teaching her to dance and he says, "Keep your head up, keep your head up, look up, shoulders back, head up, dance," right? And again, that's us as a subconscious command to act like you have self-worth. Act like you have self-confidence. When you have self-confidence, your shoulders are back, your head's up, and you're ready to go. You know, and it's our physiology. It's our physical mental link that, you know, if you slump down, your shoulders go down, your head goes down, you can't feel self-confident or self-worth. If your shoulders go back and your head goes up and you breathe a little bit deeper, it makes you feel better. So keep your shoulders. You know, her subconscious mind is trying to teach her to keep her shoulders back, keep her head up, act as if, as we would say in the hypnosis and the NLP world and in the recovery world, act as if, and then pretty soon you'll do it. So that's a wonderful message for us to begin to develop that, because that's that triad kind of thing that our friend Tony Robbins talks about, right? If your physiology, then your physiology is one way, your mental state will follow. right? And then if you reinforce that, then it becomes an ongoing, rapidly growing scenario inside your mind. But the last thing with this movie that I think is so brilliant, that if we look at it differently now, and as you're looking at it right now, you could look at it much differently, is the final scene of the movie, where they're sitting there, and it's the final, you know, it's the end of the summer. So they're sitting at the table, the mother and the father, who, as we know, are well-meaning. The father really went out of his way to help some of the young girls. I mean, we know that. He's well-meaning. It's not that they're trying to screw her up. It's just they're operating from their model of the world. So as they're sitting there, and of course, when Patrick Swayze comes in and he sees baby and she really wants to dance, but of course, she's not supposed to dance. That's where that wonderful line that reverberates. It's one of the 10 most popular lines in the history of the movie. Nobody puts baby in a corner, right? And I think that reverberates because don't we cry out for that? Don't put me in a corner. Let me do what I want to do. Let me be a hypnotist. Let me be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is you truly want. Let me be an actor. I don't want to be a common mom. I want to be an actor. I want to be an actress. Whatever it is, you have that soul's cry, like my mom, or like my lovely dear wife, Christina, would say, you know, when she was telling people that she wanted to be a circus performer and fly on the trapeze, how many people basically put baby in a corner? Well, she actually did it. And so when he comes up and he tells the parents that nobody puts baby in the corner, and he puts his hand up, and then she takes it, and then they dance. And then once she starts to really dance and really enjoy it, you see the parents' face lights up. Because I think underneath it, the parents wanted her to be happy. They just didn't know what would make her happy, because what made them happy wouldn't make her happy. And so it started that whole thing. So while you're thinking about this, what if right now in your mind, you went back to some of those key moments in your past, and you realized your parents, maybe your mother and father or other authority figures around you, what if you could really help reparent yourself at that moment? What if that happened, right? And then you could let that inner you out. Then it's like the dirty dancing metaphor for life. You know, you can break free and you can learn to trust your subconscious mind. And those obstacles, especially those obstacles that you place in your own life, begin to melt away. So what I'd like to do right now, is we're going to do a quick relaxation and we're going to install what we just talked about. So what I'd like you to do is take a deep breath. And in a moment, the camera's going to go off. If you're watching this on video, it'll be dark, but the recording will still be going on. So take a deep breath. And as you exhale, close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, just let yourself relax. Just let yourself relax. 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 From the top of your head to the tips of your toes. In a moment, I'm just going to have you open and close your eyes. And with each time I say sleep, you'll close your eyes. Your mind goes blank. Your body goes limp. You go twice as deep as before. Each time I say sleep, you close your eyes and double. So open your eyes a little bit and sleep that sleep of relaxation. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes, just let yourself relax. Now your eyes are so loose, so limp, so relaxed that you just don't want to move. Now, in a moment, maybe you open your eyes a tiny bit. Maybe they open just a little bit. But when I say sleep, you double that relaxation and double it again. Good. So open your eyes a tiny bit and sleep that sleep of relaxation. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes, just let yourself relax. Just let yourself relax physically, mentally, emotionally. Relaxing, relaxing, relaxing. Great. Now what I'd like you to do is imagine your eyes are shut tight, tight, tight. In fact, super glued shut, super glued shut. In fact, the more you try to open your eyes, the more tightly shut they become. The more you try to open your eyes, the more tightly shut they become. The more you try, the more you can't. Try to open your eyes, but you can't. Try, but you can't. Try, but you can't. And just relax. If your eyes open, that's fine. Just close your eyes and relax. Now, this is a light physical relaxation, which is all we need right now. So what I'd like you to do is imagine some of those obstacles that stop you from getting the biggest goal that you want. Whatever it happens to be, it could be a financial goal, it could be a professional goal, it could be a relationship goal. And then think about some of the obstacles that you put up subconsciously and consciously that stops you from achieving this goal. And as you're thinking about that, just let it go into the back of your mind. as you're thinking about that, just let it go into the back of your mind. Good, good. Physical, mental, and emotional relaxation. Wanting, wishing, and allowing it to happen. Wanting, wishing, and allowing it to happen. Good. Now what I'd like you to do is just imagine the movie Dirty Dancing and what that meant to you and how you can look at it differently now. What if you imagine sitting at that table like she did in the movie, but you're sitting at the table with your parents or whoever your main caregivers were? And what if for the first time you understood their shortcomings, what they were trying to teach you that maybe stopped you from getting that self-worth and self-esteem, that they were operating through their model of the world? What if you found out that what they really intended you is to be happy, joyous, and free, for you to have strong self-worth, and that they have the insight and the courage for you to become the kind of person you needed to be so you could be that person through and through? So as you're thinking about that now, what I'd like you to do is just imagine they parented you much different than what they did. And what if, when you began to get those soul's cries about what you really wanted to do, you learned to trust that subconscious mind? So when that hand came out, and says, "Trust me and follow," that was your subconscious mind. That was your soul reaching out for you to trust and begin to develop that ability to follow that intuition, to balance it with your conscious mind, but begin to follow it and trust and answer that soul's cry. And realize that that subconscious mind that much of society tells us to be afraid of, our spirit, our soul, and our subconscious mind, is actually guiding you to be the best person that you can be. And it can be the most powerful, the most influential, and the best influencing you could ever have. And so you learn to just take that hand of your subconscious mind and follow. Follow it to where you really need to go. And you begin to trust that soul's spirit. And so as you do that now, you begin to feel a different level of self-worth and self-esteem. And suddenly, it's like those parents or those authority figures or other people from your past are telling you, you are good enough. You're worthy. In fact, what if you could imagine now one of the most influential people from your past looking you in the eye, into your spirit, and saying, "You're a unique, worthwhile individual. No one can do what you were put here to do. Of all the billions of people on the planet, you're the only you. Only you can make the impact that you can make. You need to be you, and you deserve it. You are worthy." And with that, you're worthy of success and happiness in every area of your life, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. Every area of your life, you're worthy. You deserve to be happy, joyous, and free. And in fact, maybe your soul's cry is trying to tell you some of those things that you want to accomplish, whether it's personal or physical or financial or professional, is actually a worthy goal and that you deserve it. And so as you begin to follow that now, you begin to feel better than you ever thought possible. You begin to acknowledge things at a deeper level. And so starting now and for the rest of your life, you feel very good in body, mind, and spirit because you're making these changes. Starting now and for the rest of your life, you begin to feel a different level of self-worth, self-esteem, and self-love because you realize that your own best guiding image is yourself. That our parents or authority figures, religious figures, society in general, is only a guiding stone. That if you follow your own light, if you follow the things you need and you want, you're much more able to achieve the kind of happiness few people do. That peace that passes all understanding. Once you get to that level, you'll be surprised and delighted how easy this is. And so as you're taking all of this in, it's like you see things with new eyes, hear things with new ears, feel feelings in a new way. Good. And so now taking all of that in, and know that you're going to feel better than you felt in a long, long time. Because your mind improves, your memory improves. And all of these suggestions go deeply into your subconscious mind and make a deep and lasting impression. So deep, so lasting that nothing will erase it. In fact, the more you try to fight it, the more it becomes a permanent part of you. Much like riding a bike as a small child. You may not ride a bike for years, but you can always ride a bike. So these suggestions go deeply into your subconscious mind, make a deep and lasting impression there. And they begin to affect every aspect of your life, how you look, how you feel, the way you respond, your attitudes, your values, your beliefs. You begin to mold yourself in the way you truly want to be. So what I'd like you to do is take that deep inside so you feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Your mind improves, your memory improves, because you see things in your true perspective without magnifying problems, without blowing anything out of proportion. You see things for what they really are, neither better nor worse. And so your mind improves, your memory improves, because your nerves become stronger and steadier, your mind more composed, more placid, more tranquil. Every day in every way, you feel more safety and more security in who and what you are. You have a great self-confidence in the things you want to accomplish without fear of failure, without fear of consequence, because you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of achieving these goals. And now I'm going to count from 1 to 5, and you're going to feel fabulous. 1, coming on up. 2, drifting to the surface. 3, wide awake, clear-headed, and refreshed. 4, opening your eyes. And 5, open your eyes. Come on back. Welcome back. So what I'd like you to do now is just repeat this as necessary and realize that answering the soul's cry is one of the things that we all have to do. It's like the rabbi that was lost in a desert in ancient times. And he came across, like, let's say, a Roman fort. And as he approached it, the centurion or the guard yells down, you know, why are you here? Who are you? Why are you here? And the rabbi yelled, what? And the guard yelled, who are you? Why are you here? The rabbi looked up and said, how much money do they pay you? So the guard would yell, what? So I want to know how much money they're paying you. And he yelled out whatever it was, whatever the Roman money is, dinars or whatever, 10 dinars a month. Because I'll pay you 10 times that if you follow me around and ask that question several times a day. Who are you and what are you doing here? And so that's the biggest question of humanity. And that's part of our soul's cry. So I'd like to thank you for listening to these last few recordings on this. It's just something to think about. And so next week, we're going to be talking about the physical body and why it's a lot easier to reinvent yourself than most people think. So again, I'm Dr. Will Horton. Thank you for joining, and we'll see you as we trudge the road to happy destiny.